Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. We have three items for you this week. One is a good old-fashioned reading from the Bible. We call it Truth You Can Trust. The second one is the last in a series called The Folly of Atheism. We're looking at how the change in people's lives cannot be ignored. And the third item is a new series, The Lawyer's Case for Christianity. It's all about good news. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. Hi, welcome to our section, Truth You Can Trust, Direct Bible Quotations. This is just simply some quotations from the Bible. I hope you'll find them encouraging. These are words that the Bible, you know, these are words from the Bible, and the Bible is an amazing book. It is the Word of God, and as a Christian, I put a great deal of emphasis on it. In fact, I would believe what the Bible says before I believe what anybody else says. You might not see it like that, but that's the truth. That's the way I view it. Let me read to you a couple of verses from the Bible today, and I hope they'll give you strength, and I hope they'll speak to your conscience. I hope they'll bring you to think about these things. Listen to this from Romans 15, verse 4. It says, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Here are the words of Jesus Christ in John 14, verse 1. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Here are his words as recorded in verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Speaking to Christians, mind you, the trouble in our heart and our soul will come from sin and disobedience. But if we obey God, and by faith we trust him, we can know the peace of God. Listen to the invitation of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." What an offer. "Come to me," Jesus says, "all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Truth you can trust. These are direct Bible quotations. May you know God's blessing. The Folly of Atheism, number 6. We're looking, and have been looking, at the topic of how foolish it is to be an atheist. That doesn't mean the people who are atheists are fools. Indeed, far be that statement from the truth, because they're very intelligent people often. But it is a foolish thing to refuse to accept the existence of God, the authority of God, the need to come to God and worship before him. Indeed, the Bible says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." The Bible could translate, you could translate that Bible statement another way. The fool hath said in his heart, "No God for me." In other words, it is a choice. Now you say, that's far-fetched. Well, I'm not so sure if it is. When you turn to the book of Romans in chapter 1 in the Bible, it says they gave God up. It doesn't say that God was dead, like Nietzsche would teach you. It doesn't say that God had died. It says they gave God up. So what's the sixth proposition here? It is a foolish thing to be an atheist because atheism ignores the fact that people actually do get converted. They do become Christians. They are saved. Their lives are changed. Let me take you to an example in the Bible. In the book of Acts chapter 4, there is a man who is lame. There's a miracle that is done. And the people who denied the fact that this man was made whole by Jesus of Nazareth, this is what they said. They said, "There's nothing we can do about this. What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done by them. It's manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." It's recorded a little earlier on that it said they could say nothing against it. They still didn't believe. They have the evidence of a man. You might say, if I could see a man healed, that's why Jesus did the miracles when he was on earth, to give that evidence that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why in the early church, God gave the ability to do miracles. I don't believe it's with us today. God can still do miracles, but it's not an automatic gift given to Christians. But that's what happened in the early days of the church. And it was evidence that this was God that was working. But despite the evidence, they said, we can see a notable miracle has been done. We cannot argue against it. We can't say anything against it. It's obvious to everybody in Jerusalem, but we're not going to believe it. That is the final string to the bow of this argument, the folly of atheism. We've thought about the fact of the Lord Jesus. We've thought about the fact of the Bible. We've thought about many, many things. But here's the one that is often ignored. They say it's all psychosomatic. It's all in the mind. It's just the way people want things to be. But I could take you to people today who are diametrically opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, who did not believe God existed. What changed that? God intervened in their life. I hear people who say, I'd love to believe what you believe. Well, you can do. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Do not be foolish, even though you are intelligent. Do not be irrational, even though you're a rational being. Do not allow your conscience to be deadened when God is speaking to your conscience and demonstrating your sin and your wrong and your need and your guiltiness and your emptiness and the desperate need for peace. Do not ignore the creation round about us, the conscience within us, the cravings that we have, the desires, the care that is shown to us in this planet by God automatically, the word of God that is before us, the Saviour Jesus, or the conversion of people round about us. May God bless you. May you discover the truth. May you seek the truth and know the blessing of God as you find it. Welcome to our new series, The Lawyer's Case for Christianity. Now, if you have listened to any of my radio material before, you may have come across some items under this heading before. We did start it, we did do parts of it, but we didn't complete it. So we're going to try and work our way through this, and it's a really, really important issue because it's one of the key books in the Bible, the Book of Romans, written by a man who was Jewish in his background, but he was also had Roman citizenship. He was a lawyer, and he was anti-Jesus Christ. He was very pro-God, pro-Jewish, but anti-Jesus. And he was called Saul of Tarsus, a very famous character. He had what they called a Damascus Road experience. That's where the whole expression comes from. God intervened in his life, and he came to know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he came to trust him. And it was a very amazing conversion experience. So he writes 16 chapters of a book called Romans, and he explains in detail the gospel of Jesus Christ, the reason for it, the provision that God has made, and what happens when a person becomes a Christian. So we're going to deal with that. And I'd like to read to you the first five verses in the book of Romans in chapter 1. And this is fascinating stuff. So sit tight and listen as we read. It says this, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now, we've broken into, and we've kind of clipped at the end there. We could have read right through. This is a fascinating chapter, and we will deal with some more of this. We're not going to go into every verse. So this isn't written, or this isn't recorded for theological Christians who want to do an analysis. That's another day and another purpose. And there are many who have done that already, and probably far more capably than I have done. But this is to present the core message of Christianity as presented in this book of the Bible. And it starts off by telling us that this man's life had been so radically transformed that God had called him to uniquely present the gospel of God. Now, the word gospel means good news. So here's a man, and he has a good news message. That's what I want to bring to you. As you listen to either my podcasts or my radio programs, I want you to listen to the good news that God has got for you. This good news was not a surprise when God presented this message to Paul, because it says that he had promised it by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, that can only refer to the Old Testament part of the Bible, because the New Testament wasn't complete at the time that the letter of Romans by Paul was being written. So God had promised this gospel through men that he communicated to, God spoke to and through men in the past, and the Scriptures are the record of his communication. Now the message, the core focus of the message is Jesus Christ. It's concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, you wouldn't know anything about him if he hadn't become a man, so it says he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, he was born into a noble family, the family of King David. Both Mary and Joseph find their ancestry goes back through David. But he wasn't born in a palace, and he wasn't born in privileged times, and he didn't have a silver spoon in his mouth. He lived a very mundane, ordinary life in the sense of finances, and the sense of environment, in the sense of the homestead that he lived in. But he was of the line of David. That was part of the predictions of the Bible. One of the predictions of the Bible was the family and the tribe that he would be born into. So he's of the seed of David as far as his human lineage is concerned, as far as the family that he was placed into. But he's the Son of God. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. The death of Jesus Christ on its own will not change anything. But God's Son Jesus died, and on the third day he rose from the dead. And his resurrection, the Bible states this very clearly in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 25. He was delivered for our offences and raised again for our justification. That means God proved that he could make us right with himself, he could clear our guilt, he could give to us holiness and righteousness that came from him, because the Lord Jesus purchased it by his death upon the cross. So these are tremendous statements, tremendous truth that's being taught. The Lord Jesus is declared to be the Son of God. His resurrection, his coming back from the dead, is the ultimate evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. And well, this man says, as a result of this and through this person, we have received grace. We've also received the work, the calling to communicate God's message. And the aim of our preaching is that people will obey the word of God. God wants us to come to understand that the word of God is truth. And he wants us to come to realize that when we believe the truth and when we trust God's word, then we come into the blessing of salvation. And so the preaching of the Bible is for the obedience of faith. We've to acknowledge the truth. We've to obey what God has said in his word. So he writes and he preaches and he tells people the message of the gospel for obedience to the faith. People will obey what God has said in his word. I hope you'll listen to more of these episodes. I hope that you'll come to know that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Son of God. I hope you'll accept and know the grace of God in your life through forgiveness, through trusting him as Saviour. You have been listening to Stephen Baker on a Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. More information and contact details can be found on my webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk. Thanks for listening. Come again soon.